We are KBHR 93.3 FM, The Bear. My name is Rick Herrick, and as promised, we have on the line with us Congressman Paul Cook, and we've had a series of conversations with Congressman Cook over the last few months. It's been very insightful for us to get information on what is happening basically in Washington and around the world. Paul, thank you so much for being on the show again.
Thanks for having me.
So, Congressman Cook, you're obviously involved in what is happening around the world. Can you give us some insight with what is happening basically in the Middle East? There's so many hotspots there now, and we've talked about this before. We don't really seem to have any direction. It's just sort of knee-jerk reactions to what happens at that particular moment. You know, what is going on, and what do you think the solution is, and what can the administration do to make things better?
Well, a lot of us have problems, quite frankly, with the administration. And I don't want to say their lack of interest or perhaps benign neglect in that area there. When you refer to ISIS or ISIL, depending upon which source, and paraphrase it, call it a JV organization. It's a very, very dangerous organization that has been active in Syria. Obviously, it's spread through Iraq, taken major cities. Quite frankly, a lot of American blood was shed in, like most notably was Fallujah. And this has been going on for quite a while. And I think the administration has made a policy that they wanted to get out of Iraq. They just wanted to wash their hands. If you're going to be unfortunately, you can't do that. There's a lot of variables that happen in the world, and you're going to get involved in these things whether you like it or not. And I'm not one of these ones that are proposing that you put American troops on the ground or anything like that. But the airstrikes, I thought, were starting off in a rather tepid manner, very, very slow. I was hoping that because ISIS was in the open, their lines of communication were spread all over the desert, they were easy targets. And the goal was to make sure the Kurdistan and the Kurds did not fall, as well as protect the Christians that were there.
Now,
I'm
a little confused because, I hear that we have American interests there, but we don't have anybody on the ground. I mean, what are these American interests that we have there that seems to be a little bit mysterious, at least for me and maybe for others as well?
Well, you don't have the normal organizational military units, ground units, like the 1st CAV with the Army or the 1st Marine Division of the Marine Corps. You have a lot of special forces, troops. They are coordinating. They are working with, the Kurds, a lot of air controllers. There's a lot of... if you're going to use airstrikes, you need that apparatus and what have you, so that you can have the targets. And that's been, they have the means to do that. And I think it shows that even coming in at the 11th hour, we still have the mechanisms to do that. But you're not going to see these committed units, and I certainly don't advocate that. But I think we might have dodged a little bit of a bullet. We're never going to get back that, or Iraq is never going to get back that area there. It's going to probably be split into three areas. One is the Shiite area of Baghdad going south. Mm-hmm. The other area is the preponderance of the desert bordering Syria, which is Sunni, and of course Kurdistan, which is to the northwest, and a very, very key ally, one that has always been with us. And actually pretty good military force as compared to the Iraqi army.
Can you give us a little insight, too, hearing over and over again about Americans who have now joined the ISIS forces over there? Who are these people? Is there any idea of who they are, where they're coming from, and why they do such a thing?
Well, they're usually young. They're usually very impressionable. A lot of it has to do with the ideology that's being preached in Europe, as well as the United States, and it's kind of a counterculture type of thing here. Many of them have bought into the fact that this is something that is pure, something Obviously, they subscribe to the Sharia law, which is very, very radical. And you would think it would be come as a surprise, but if you look at what happened with the Boston terrorists when that blew up, the question was, were these people actually from the Chechnya region of Russia mm-hmm. that were involved in this, or were they homegrown terrorists? And I think there's a little bit of each. Some of these people are involved in it are very, very good recruiters. They use the free and open society to spread their word, if you will. And there's a lot of converts. And I say a lot. You're talking 200, 300 people. But when somebody blows up a bomb and kills a lot of people, their influence is magnified. Mm-hmm. And even ISIS is not comparable to a modern army. They have a lot of weapons that they got from the Americans, but they're certainly in a fixed conflict. They're certainly not the size of a modern-day army. But they are going to, you got to remember, there's no restrictions on what they would do. They would use any weapons system. They would use bombs. And, of course, that's the fear of many people. God forbid they got sarin gas in their inventory, or even worse, that they got nuclear weapons.
How do you label those folks from the U.S. who are over there with ISIS fighting? Are they traitors? Or are they criminals? How are they labeled?
Well, I think there's different categories. There's some that have bought in all the way. There's some that have probably been aiding and abetting some of the murders that have gone on. To me, they're just out and out murderers to do that. And if anyone that was involved in the beheading of the reporter over there, that's one of the worst crimes that you can commit. But it just shows you how dedicated ISIS is. Probably right now the most radical terrorist organization. Many people have described them as more radical than Al-Qaeda, more radical than Taliban, more radical than Boko Haram. Boko Haram, which is in Nigeria, is pretty bad. So I don't know if you can have a top 10 hit list, but the point is you cannot ignore these people, because more than anything else, the thing about this group is they have money. They have done very, very well. They're organized. They have connections. They have learned how to use extortion as a weapon. They know how to sell oil on the black market. They have support from certain countries, and I don't want to go into which ones they are. And I'm not saying the country actually, but there are people in certain countries that have a lot of money in the Middle East that will give them money simply because these are Sunnis that are fighting Shiites, that they are fighting Christians, and that they are very, very nationalistic and will support the cause.
We have on the line with us Congressman Paul Cook, and we've been talking about the Middle East. We're going to shift gears a little bit. We'll be back in just a moment with Congressman Cook.